We're told that, in many ways in days gone by, the front porch represented the American ideal of family. The porch, in essence, was an outdoor living room where the family could retire after the activities of a long day. In the evenings, as the outdoor air provided a cool alternative to the stuffy indoor temperatures, the entire family would move to the front porch. The children might play in the front yard or the friendly confines of the neighborhood, while the parents rocked in their chairs, dismissing the arduous labors and tasks of the day into relaxation and comfort. Stories might be told, advice garnered, or songs sung. Whatever the traditions and manners of the family might be, could be offered in this setting. What the family room or TV room of post-World War II America would become existed first as the front porch. The front porch was truly a place for family and friends to pass the time. The American front porch further represented the ideal of community in America, for the front porch existed as a zone between the public and private, an area that could be shared between the sanctity of the home and the community outside. It was an area where interaction with the community could take place. The porch actually fostered a sense of community and neighborliness. In the evenings, as people moved outdoors, the porch served to connect individuals. The neighbors from next door might stop by one's house to sit on the porch and discuss both personal and community issues. The couple walking down the street might offer a passing hello as they passed house after house whose inhabitants rested outdoors. The porch brought the neighborhood and community together by forcing interaction and an acute awareness of others. Indeed, the front porch and the ideal of community in America had developed into a congruous union. That from an essay, The Cultural Significance of the American Front Porch, by the Department of American Studies at the University of Virginia. The porch is tied then to family and friendship, to relaxing and singing, with coming together, with telling stories. And the folks at UVA make another point. They say the striking cultural significance of the front porch is its connection to nature and the land surrounding it. Throughout the history of our nation, Americans have idealized nature and land. The front porch provided a compromise for two opposing American ideals and connected human control in the form of the house to nature and the wilderness outside it. So let's just imagine an enormous front porch, and then think of all the fun that we could have on such a porch. Sipping lemonade, strumming our guitars, sharing stories, laughing, and enjoying the beautiful breeze and the bouncing branches of the surrounding trees in the neighborhood. Each year at this time, our friends from the Hickory Project, Jillian Hannigan and Anthony Hannigan, set about creating a porch-like state of mind in Tunkhannock as they host the Cornstalk Folk Festival Labor Day weekend. This year, it's September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And really, it's not just a festival. It's a philosophy of life. It's about the way music, the making of music, can bring us together and delight us, not just entertain us, but also sustain us. We're hearing Jillian and Anthony and the Hickory Project, and the two stopped in at the WVIA studios to tell us about Cornstalk 2017 and about how, in their own lives, they came to value music and music making.
I grew up in a little town called Ransom, right along the Susquehanna River. I grew up in a very musical family. My mother and father both played music, my father being an avid bluegrass musician. And so I would go around with him when I was younger. And before too long, I was like carrying the instruments and then playing the instruments and was encouraged by everyone, you know, never any discouraging comments. It was like, oh, you step in here in the center. And it was a very community-driven kind of scene. So,
and you still see that at bluegrass festivals today. They're always getting the little kids on stage to encourage them. It's really a wonderful atmosphere.
Yeah, and even if it's not a little kid, it could be somebody that's like in their 60s or 70s that just picked up the instrument for the first time. It's like, hey, share the story with us. Share the language. Let's hear what you have to say. And so I was doing it my whole entire life. Grew up here. And kind of went through all the different musical phases happened here. My father was big and very instrumental in the bluegrass and acoustic world. And then things that you see different, like old friends, they came around on the scene, were doing country rock, but had that little hint of bluegrass. So you've seen the spark kind of happen right there. And then, you know, some years gone by, a good friend of mine moved here from Texas, was going to school at Marywood, Coleman Smith, you know, Doug Smith, his nephew. Well, he and his brother were here. And I saw another big push for acoustic music. You see bands like Cabinet, now Dave Brown, the Dishonest Fiddlers. Van Wagner's been doing it for years. I mean, these are all guys that are right in the backyard that are kind of just picking up where other people have started. And it's super cool. I just heard from a friend of mine, little Carl Cole. He was in a band called the Back Mountain String Band. And these guys were around doing like the polka festivals and stuff, the little farm. And they were a bluegrass band. And it's kind of cool. And then my journeys have taken me all over. And I ran into this lady over here at a gig up in Saratoga Springs, New York. She was up picking her sister up and she came up and had her little whistle with her and said,
hey. I had my flute, actually.
Said, I'd like to jam some tunes. And I was like, hey, well, come on, let's hear what you have. And I heard within 20 seconds, I knew that she knew what was going on and knew the tunes. And it was, to me, it was really cool because I always think music's always expanding. It doesn't have to be locked into a tradition. I mean, you look at a flute or a whistle, that's even older than a violin or a mandolin, for example. But the way she was able to express it, with that kind of like, it was like nothing I've ever heard before. And the only thing I can compare it to at the time was stuff that David Grisman was doing, but it was much cooler because it was real. It was right in front of me and I could identify with the person that was doing it.
Did you just say that you thought my playing was cooler than David Grisman? That's quite a compliment.
Let it be written, let it be said, Radio Land, yes.
But you're married to me, so.
Yeah, so that's how we met. And from that moment, I mean, the spark kind of happened to branch out in different kind of, you know, genre jumping, bringing the musics of the stuff that I knew, and she's classically trained. I'll hand the mic over.
My background is classical, flute, and, you know, through elementary school and middle school and high school and college. And then when I just graduated high school, I started doing a Renaissance fair and kind of got introduced to the Celtic music, but also the jam world after hours. The Renaissance fair is a whole lot of fun after hours. And I learned what jamming was, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. So I started taking my flute everywhere. That's how I met Anthony with my flute. Hey, can I play with you? And so now our band, we mix bluegrass, Celtic, swing. I've been trying to work in the classical. Still working on that. But and that's one thing I love about the festival, too, is we're not a bluegrass festival. We're not a Celtic festival. We're a folk festival where we bring in what we call roots music, is all that music that stems from these traditional forces in music, you know, from Celtic, from jazz, from singer-songwriter, all these traditions and blues, and bring them all into one festival. And I've heard from some of our audience that they just love the variety. That's one of the things that brings them back.
Yeah, there's a nice little mesh for everyone. And then there's always that chance that people who have never heard bluegrass before might be exposed to it for the first time, or somebody who's never heard a brass band. You know, they might be just a bluegrass fan, but they're like, wow, this is closely related, and I think I like what my ears are hearing. Tell me more. Or maybe I want to go pick up a horn. Or the singer-songwriter. You know, a lot of people that either listen to the bluegrass are hearing a whole band, but they hear like the one guy doing his thing, and that could, you know, inspire generations of their family to be musicians as well and start telling their own stories.
And that's so much what you care about. And you indicated it when you were talking about bringing people who hadn't played, whether they're young or old, up onto the stage to get into it. You love music as not something on a pedestal, but music as part of people's
music
lives.
Music as community.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of Cornstalk. And we end, and this happened just by accident, we ended with what we call now the Cornstalk Jubilee. And anyone with an instrument gets up on stage. We've had kids shaking tambourines or adults bringing up their instruments that have never performed on a stage before. But they come up and it's just this great sing-along. And then even some of the musicians are down in the audience. People have corn stalks. They're dancing around. It is such a wonderful scene.
Yeah. I think the big thing also on that is the vocabulary that one builds to ramp up that conversation, that language that you have as a musician, you know, to really open your ears and your mind to all different branches of the musical tree, right? And seeing everybody from the young and old be inspired to go and do it, take it somewhere that you've never thought of, and maybe they'll come back around and teach you something. And keeping it alive, I think that's one of the big, big things. And, you know, the one thing I crave that Jillian was talking about, the Renaissance fairs and the little jams that happen, that's huge in the acoustic music world, too. I mean, you go to a festival, you'll hear Alison Krauss, but Alison Krauss and Dan Tyminski might be out in the campground playing their instruments, jamming with, you know, their cousins, their uncles, or whoever, making new friends. And next thing you know, you're staying at someone's house that following weekend. You just met the weekend before. So great relationship building as well.
And as spontaneous as that kind of process is, you also have structured workshops on specific topics.
Yeah, actually, twofold there. So we have an all-day workshop on Friday at the Dietrich Theater in guitar, which is taught by Grant Gordy this year, who played with David Grisman for 5 or 6 years. Phenomenal guitarist, a true musician, not just a bluegrass guitarist or a jazz guitarist, but a musician. And along with him, we have Dominic Leslie on the mandolin, who plays in Grant's band, who's another phenomenal young musician. And then we have Steve Leonard doing the banjo, who's been traveling with the Stillhand String Band, and recently he's teamed up with Serene Green. And he's a young guy that's got a lot of vocabulary in his toolkit.
At the festival, you know, we have workshops even for non-musicians. Like, we have a group sing-along workshop or a Celtic jam. You could just go and listen if you like. One of our bands, Poor Man's Gambit, will be doing our Celtic jam. We have workshops, kids workshops. You can bring even your preschooler. They're going to have at our kids area lots of...
Right. We just met up. We did the River Day Fest up in Tunkhannock this year. We met this wonderful family called the Zeiger family. And that's their thing. That they go around and teach kids, and they do all the instruments, the horns, the brass, the strings, everything. And they're phenomenal. And
so they'll be there on Saturday.
Saturday. We have dobro, we have banjo, we have guitar, we have everything during the festival. And like Jillian was saying, which is very important, is, you know, even if you don't play, just to go up and be a part of it. You know, you might meet your next best friend sitting there at that event. And as a matter of fact, I think we might even have a few accordion players coming in. That's what we like to encourage everybody to bring instruments. And even if they're sitting along the stream or by their camper, you know, play some tunes, have something to say.
Yeah, definitely. If you have an instrument that's been sitting in your corner getting all dusty, this is the time to bring it out. Bring it out to Cornstalk. You will find a place to play it. Absolutely.
And yet, it isn't just about music. It's about community, friendships, but you celebrate the arts as well.
Yeah, and that's important to me. It's a folk festival, but not just a folk music festival. We want it to be a folk arts festival, too, and we have artists from all over the region. We have over 20 artists coming this year to display their works of art, and this might be one of the only opportunities that these artists even have to display their work, because apparently being an artist is even harder than being a musician. I know that's hard to fathom, but I think it's true. So it was important to me to offer a space for artists to come out. And for people that love music, if you love music, my guess is you're probably going to love art too. So something else for you to walk around, look at, maybe take some work of art home. Even for the first time this year, we're going to have a tarot card reader, which I haven't had having your fortune read since I was in New Orleans about 15 years ago. So I might have to give that a try and see what my future holds.
Right.
Just like my husband, I'm always curious about what he's going to play next.
Yes. So along with the arts too, we have craft vendors as well. I mean, there's going to be a lot of various craft vendors and food vendors. We have, I think, the base is all covered for each and everybody. But if nothing kind of fits your mold, there's always the beautiful sight of Lazy Brook Park, the beautiful stream, Tunkhannock Creek running down, just to come and, I think, just chillax, you know, have that big, long, you know, take a big breath. The summer's unwinding. This is it right here. It's a nice long weekend. I don't think there's a finer way to spend it than coming out to Cornstalk.
And something I'm really excited about with our food this year, well, we have the Indraloka Animal Sanctuary is our sponsor. And in honor of them, we've actually found some vegan food choices to have at the festival this year. So we'll actually have vegan health food and then also just a regular vegan food trailer. And then, of course, we have other great foods. We have some folks coming up from Maryland again. Their Firehouse Crab Balls is not to be missed. The crab cake sandwich is incredible.
Yeah. And you can always camp the whole weekend, bring your own food, and do it up old style.
You all travel, speaking of campings, you all travel and play the world, and making friends is easy for you because you're so personable. So you play music around the world, and you keep those people in mind, and you invite them to join you, anybody from the international realm?
Actually, this year it didn't quite work out. We had a conflict in schedule, but next year for certain, we have some friends from France that are very, very, not only popular, but just so talented as well. We're hoping to get them over next year. But some friends of ours have been traveling. So, example, Grant Gordy.
He just got back from a big European tour.
He was over in Portugal. He was in Spain. He was in France. And he started, I think, way up in Finland and kind of worked his way down with one of his other projects, I think the Peregrines is what it's called. My friend Roy Williams is actually, he's from Clark Summit. We're featuring Brother Roy, which is him solo doing kind of like the storytelling David Bromberg thing on Sunday, but his Human Hands Band, which is more of the gypsy swing. Roy's been going back and forth to California like we would run down to Sooresville or something. So he's been doing very well for himself and still based in New York.
He's getting ready to go on tour with Sarah Jarosz.
And he's actually Nick Offerman. He's playing in his band, the dude from Parks and Recreation. Yeah, so Roy's the guitar player in that band right now. He's doing quite well, and he's very excited about all the stuff that's happening for him. And we are too. And Van Wagner. This is the first Cornstalk appearance for Van. You know, Van's recorded, I think, what, 50 CDs here with George? He's got such a library and archive of music going on, and we can never line it up to have him. And we are really inspired by Van. He is like one of the only people I know that goes and lives the stories that he sings. I mean, he worked deep in the coal mines. He was a lumberjack. The guy just does it all. So we got him on Friday evening, and we're super excited about that.
So I don't know if, Erica, if you've noticed in music that most of the musicians and most of the bands seem to be male. I don't know what it is. And 2 years ago, I asked Anthony, because Anthony's the one that handles the band. So I'm like, can you bring in like more women, maybe? And so he really made a concerted effort to bring in women that year. But since then, I think he's been falling a little bit under our quota for women. So he brought on at the last minute Jenny Lynn. She's from the band Della May, and they've received huge awards, Grammys, IBMA, all of it. And she'll be there on Sunday. I'm really excited. And we also have Kristen Graves, a folk singer out of...
She's actually out of Connecticut.
Out of Connecticut.
Yes. And also making a kind of a secret guest appearance is a young lady by the name of Phoebe Hunt. It's Dominic, who's doing the mandolin workshop on Friday, and Grant Gordy's mandolin player, his wife. And she just had a recent write-up in Rolling Stone, and she's quite fantastic.
Now, what about these sisters?
Well, so anyone that has a twin may know that there's times of great ups and times of great downs. And last year, Channing came to Cornstalk, and we did Sassafras, and we had a great time. But sometimes working really closely with your sister can be difficult. So we called a truce and we said, let's take some time and maybe, I don't know, maybe she won't come next year to the festival. But she, in fact, just called me yesterday and said, you know, I should come to the festival. And I was like, you know, you should. So we're not on the bill, but there's no telling what kind of mayhem will be involved when my sister shows up, that's for sure. We have a recording of Cornstalk Year One when Channing and I played together as the Virginia Sisters. And half of the set is just us bickering.
Never a
dull
moment.
But the sound man said it was his favorite set of the whole festival. So to each his own.
You mentioned the brass band, but give us the name.
It's the Indigo Moon Brass Band.
And that has
there.
Another local favorite, one of the most awesome musicians I've ever played with in my entire life, Mr. Nick Driscoll. He is everywhere in like 455 bands, and he's going to be playing with the Moon Brass Band and also with Human Hands. And also there's a, you'll see at the program, there's a new band that was added called Sun Jelly, which is a little spin-off of the Bog Swing Group. And so
we have our swing music covered for sure.
Right. And
then we have great Americana, kind of with a New Orleans flair. Professor Louie and the Chromatics will be there. And we have, of course, Hickory Project, our bluegrass band, J.P. Williams Blues Band. We have Serene Green, which is an up-and-coming bluegrass band. Those guys are a lot of fun.
From down around the Bethlehem way. So, yeah, they're great. Also, Mike Biswitzki, Miz, we might know him as. He's been here several times. I've known his family for years, super great people, and Michael's just super talented too. So he'll be there at Grass Station on the Friday night set and then Sunday afternoon as well.
Yeah, you don't want to miss the late night show. That's my favorite because I work all day at the festival, so I get to finally kind of cut loose. 10:30 is our late night show, and that is so much fun. It's at the Creekside stage. So yeah, we have two stages at Cornstalk, which I'm very excited about, and 27 bands this year.
We also have Bug Tussle from Binghamton, New York, another great band that's been around for a while.
Tim McGurl, fantastic folk singer.
Everybody knows Tim. Timmy's like one of the very best. I love Tim. We have Owl and Wolf. They've been with us since the very first year. They kind of took a break from playing last year, and they're awesome. They're a duo. very folky.
Folk duo, yeah. Right. Then we have some Appalachian folk with Tanner Bingaman and friends, and also, of course, the Well Bottomers, a local favorite. They do this really great Appalachian music, and they'll be leading some workshops as well.
And then we do the Sunday morning tribute to my father. We do music of Jim Hannigan, which is all the people that played in the Roots of Bluegrass we recorded here at VIA many, many, many years ago. So we're looking forward to doing that too.
Well, I always love it when you come because you bring your instruments and you play for us. And I think that's great.
Well, this tune is special to me because Anthony and I wrote this song together in one of our favorite towns, Gettysburg, during a hard time in our relationship. And it was kind of a cathartic way for us to redeem ourselves. It's called Gettysburg Redemption.
Gettysburg Redemption, performed by Jillian Hannigan and Anthony Hannigan of Hickory Project, right here in the WVIA studio. The Hickory Project was formed in 2001. The group features what they describe as hard-driving, traditional, and original acoustic music deeply rooted in bluegrass, with national mandolin champion Anthony Hannigan, Jillian Hannigan, Ed Lick, Steve Belcher, and Josh Sudigala. They're known around the country, around our region, of course, and around the world. They perform internationally from Australia to Austria and then some. Jillian and Anthony each year produce the Cornstalk Folk Festival on Labor Day weekend. Music, art, camping, workshops, and more. And this weekend, it will be a pre-festival concert at the Dietrich Theatre with Hickory Project and Friends. That's this Sunday, August 27th at 3 o'clock. Admission is free. Donations are welcome. It's an afternoon with the Hickory Project and Friends, and you'll get a chance to sample some of what will be offered the following weekend, the Folk Festival itself, September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at Lazy Brook Park in Tunkhannock, Route 6. and that's about 20 miles west of Scranton. Grant Gordy will be on hand, the Grant Gordy Quartet, the Indigo Moon Brass Band, Owl and Wolf, Van Wagner, Bug Tussle, and of course, the Hickory Project, and so many other performers. And if you need more information about anything related to Cornstalk, it's cornstalkfestival.org, and stock is STOCK, like Woodstock, Cornstalk, cornstalkfestival.com, and that's September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Lazy Brook Park in Tunkhannock. And Friday features during the day an all-day workshop, a string workshop, and that would be guitar, mandolin, banjo, that sort of thing. And these are terrific professional musicians who tour the world, and they come to town for the festival, but then on Friday they get together at the Dietrich Theater and offer a very fun but very serious and directed set of workshops for string players of any aptitude. So that's the Friday, and then the Friday night performers, and Saturday, all day Saturday and Sunday, Lazy Brook Park Cornstalk Folk Festival, September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. For more information on the web, cornstalkfestival.com, cornstalkfestival.com.